Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to this edition of The Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully, everyone is having a banner day following a great football weekend. Well, not so great, depending on what teams you root for. But it is Monday, nonetheless. Welcome to The Cave Show. This is PLR. A lot of stuff to get into today. Oh, I'm hoping that I don't just walk out on this show smack dab in the middle, which is a distinct possibility. Because that's what's going on now. You don't like something, you just walk out in the middle of it. I guess that's the new thing to do. All of a sudden, Carson Wentz is healthy. Antonio Brown said, okay, well, fine, screw it, trade me then. Patrick Mahomes is the real deal. Diamondbacks played themselves out of the playoffs. There's so much to get going. ASU took a tough one in San Diego to San Diego State, and I am convinced there's Alabama. Let me rephrase this. There's the pros, there's Alabama, and then there's everybody else in college football. And how bad are the Cardinals? All that we're going to get into, so much more. Not a lot of time. Let's jump right into it. We are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona, off of Alma School in Chandler Heights. Getting that 11 PLR sent you best cigars, best sticks in the valley. You could also become a club member, get a lock of the back up to a humidor. Never, ever, ever worry about your sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona. 4991 South Alma School. They now serve beer and wine. Again, 11 PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. If you want to give a call in, talk about any of the topics we have opened up with, or you want to go completely different, that's up to you. Like I said, though, we have a lot to get into today, a lot of stuff to cover. I have a whole thing. Welcome to the Kerry Show. This is PLR, and we might have the pleasure of speaking with.
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, first of all, sorry for the loss you had on Saturday. I don't think I was expecting that.
You know what? San Diego State is an incredible football team in terms of what they do. They average between 9 and 10 wins every year. So they're no slouch. That's where Rashad Penny came from, the running back up in Seattle, and they came into ASU last year and ran on them like they stole something from them. And they did it again. I think in an entire second half, San Diego State threw the ball 6 times. They rushed for 311 yards. I just left, and when I say just left, I mean literally just left Herm Edwards press conference. And it's simple. ASU allowed San Diego State to impose their will on them. A lot of people are going to go back to Herm going for it on fourth down in the second quarter. His thought was, let's put this team on the ropes, because if you put them on the ropes, they're not a passing team. They won't be able to come back from 2 touchdowns. And people out here making a big deal saying, well, field goal is 2 scores. They're not ignorant. They know exactly what he meant. He meant 2 full scores would really put them in pressure. Worst case scenario, they got the ball 90 yards to go. Coming up to halftime, he thought that they would go down and score, and that basically changed the momentum of the game, and that was the game. And then at the very end of the game, Frank Darby caught a pass, which was clearly a catch, but it was a targeting hit. So when they went and looked at the targeting, they went and looked at the catch, and I don't know what these refs were looking at, but they said it wasn't a catch. So instead of ASU being on a 3-yard line with 1-yard line with 6 seconds left, they just got a 15-yard penalty, which changed the whole ending of the game. That doesn't say ASU would have won. But, yeah, that's the way it is. They're facing Washington this week, and I'll get into that game a little bit more because that's going to be a tough task, especially going up to Washington. One of the things I did say, though, going into this, there's two things I know. Alabama, by far, is the best football team in college football. I get on them for a week out of conference schedule, and I will stand by that because I think they play nobody going into the SEC conference schedule, but there is no one close to them. Clemson, Ohio State are all teams with a shot that could possibly beat them if everything lines up right for them, but I see nobody beating Alabama. They're just too good. So I think it's them literally and everybody else. And in saying that, it also makes me – the other thing I know is I never want to hear Urban Meyer talk about anything else in my life other than football because he's incapable of doing it. He's incapable of still making us understand that he has no care in the world other than himself and football. So let's just stick to it. People, face it. He's not going to call Chris Smith. He's not going to find out what happened. He's not going to address it the way he should address it. He's going to talk around it. He's going to talk all about everything else than the domestic abuse that, quote-unquote, strongly, allegedly, wink, wink, happened. He is not going to address that. I don't know what people want. He did a complete interview with the Four Letter, only to come out after the interview to mention things that he should have said. Dude's not sorry. Quit asking him to be sorry. Dude that cheats on his wife, and I'm not saying this is Urban Meyer 30 times, he's not sorry for cheating. He's sorry that he got caught. There's a difference between the two. Urban Meyer is sorry that his program looked like this and he looks like this. He is not sorry about anything else. And I really wish everyone would leave it alone because he's not. And you're not going to get something that sounds sincere from him because it's not sincere because that's not his issue.
The Patriots are looking to trade someone so they can get Gordon, although they didn't say who. I just found that out.
Yeah, Gordon is in hot commodity. It looks like he got hurt or hurt his hamstring or something of that nature when at a promotional shoot on Friday night. That's really pretty much the end of it for the Browns. They're either going to release him or trade him. As soon as I heard that, the first thing I thought was that guy's going to be a Cowboy because he checks all the boxes.
I don't want him as a Cowboy anyway.
You don't want him?
That troublemaker, that's the last thing the team needs. Forget it.
I think he would fit perfectly. You know what? Here's the one thing about him, troublemaker-wise. He's never committed trouble for anyone on the team. He's just been self-destructive.
Yeah, well, we don't need that on our team.
But he seems like – Lou, I'm with you until I look at some of the guys that your owner has signed. I mean, he signed the bum that almost beat his girlfriend to no return. So I think I would rather take a guy that had a couple drug issues than a guy that was a known woman abuser. And who's your defensive lineman? He suspended again for drugs and all this stuff. At least you're getting a guy that can play. And I know they look good against the Giants, but you have no receivers, to be honest with you.
That's true.
There are certain teams I think he can go to. I think that's a team he can go to. I definitely think the Patriots, anyone can go to the Patriots and conform and do it the Patriots way. Teams I'd like to see him go to, I wouldn't mind seeing him come here and play for Arizona, although I know Arizona's not going to do that because they're too, how can I say this respectfully, too squeaky. Clean to bring in a guy that they know has that kind of troubles, but in watching the Arizona Cardinals play the Rams yesterday, I'm looking at a team like I'm figuring out where they're going to get a win. They have no playmakers. They have one guy in Mr. Johnson. They have an offensive line that can't block for him. Larry Fitzgerald is a surefire Hall of Famer, but let's be honest, Larry doesn't have that breakaway speed anymore. They have no playmakers. They have Christian Kirk, who's a rookie out of Texas A&M, still trying to find his way. I'm not impressed with this team at all. I'm not. Patrick Peterson is going to another Pro Bowl this year. We know that. But what the Rams did to them yesterday by not allowing them to cross the 50-yard line until the very last drive of the game, that tells you everything you need to know about both teams.
Yeah. And speaking of no receivers, there's only the Jets have any receivers.
Jets have no receivers. This is a total gut rebuild for them. Sam Darnold did throw a couple interceptions, but that's expected. He's a young guy. He's the truth, man. Kid can play. And it's just a matter of them, a maturation process of them constantly getting better and constantly getting weapons behind them. He doesn't really have a real running game. He doesn't really have really great receivers. So hopefully all that comes as they, as time goes on for him, and hopefully they keep him up right long enough for all that stuff to happen. But he's the real deal.
So you don't think, he's like a flash in the pan.
Sam Darnold, no.
Okay.
No.
Because I'm like, well, he didn't live up to the, from the first game. So I'm like, and everyone was, praising him, and I'm like, I will hold off on jump on the bandwagon. So,
with him, I don't think it's a bandwagon. I think Sam Darnold can just flat out play. He's a kid without any type of help, really. When you stop and think about it, what does he have to? He has, like I said, he has no running game. He has no wide receivers whatsoever. Miami is always going to be somewhere between a 7-9 team and a 9-7 team, and he's definitely not the problem. It isn't like you drafted Josh Allen, and so I like what Sam Darnold is doing. I mean, the kid, you ask the rookie to put it up 41 times, and he still walks away with 25 out of 41 for 334 and a touchdown, and a game that you technically could have still won at the end of the game. I don't really see on this one who would have been better for them long run? Like, what is, you have your long-term solution in front of you. Like, do you play a 39-year-old guy who's not going to get you anywhere? He's definitely not your future. And if you just look at if you look at what Darnold is doing, I see Isaiah Crowell, 12 carries, 35 yards, 2.9 a tote. And think about this. One of his runs was for 12 yards. So without that, Isaiah Crowell is 11 carries for 23 yards. That's 2 yards a carry. So I don't know who this kid is supposed to throw to right now. Robbie Anderson, 3 catches, 5 targets. Mm. Quincy Anua, 11 targets. He did have 7 catches, 92 yards. Again, one of them was 21 yards. Terrell Pryor admitted he messed up. He dropped a ball that possibly could have helped them win the game. And he goes 4 for 84, and 44 came on one pass. I put that game on a lot of people, but Sam Darnold isn't one of them.
Okay. All right, but, still, it was a lackluster performance from last week. But I'll give him benefit of the doubt.
Let me say this to you. If I was a team and I needed a young quarterback, I would take him. And I wasn't
all
the
right.
biggest Sam Darnold fan. I really wasn't. I thought Josh Rosen was going to be absolutely incredible, and I still think he will be. But Sam Darnold stepping into the Jets team, who looked great week one as a team, and then he still looked good. And again, Terrell Pryor apologized for not being there for his quarterback.
Right.
This kid, honestly, I don't think he is just okay good. I think he found, if he's healthy, the Jets have found their quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. He's that special. And he's all of, what, 20, 21?
Yes.
So I don't know what else can be looked at for this kid. Now, on the other side, one of the things I mentioned was everything is going wrong in Pittsburgh, and I know people are talking about their defense. If you have Le'Veon Bell on the field, on your side, Ben isn't having to throw the ball that much. Connor is a great story. James Connor is a great story. He's a good kid. He runs hard. He is not Le'Veon Bell. He is not. You're not putting a safety. You're not. If you're a defense, you're not telling the safety, you really got to make sure you watch this guy. That opens up everybody else.
Go ahead. If Bell was there, it'd be a completely different outcome.
Completely different outcome. They're 0-1-1, and I think that they better realize that they need to get it together before this season is lost, because the season isn't lost yet. You let a kid, a second-year pro, who played in a meaningless pro game yesterday, come in and carry your ass up and down your field, and Patrick Mahomes looks great. As of right now, he's making Andy Reid look like Andy Reid knew exactly what he was doing when he got rid of Alex Smith. And look, let's be honest about this. If you have a great offense or you have a great defense and a really, really good defense, you can get yourself a serviceable quarterback to get you through. You know, we saw that with Nick Foles last year. Nick Foles played lights out in the Super Bowl, but it was Carson Wentz that got them to that point where they didn't have to worry about making the playoffs. But when you start looking at teams that have realistic shots to win the Super Bowl, you're looking at teams with pretty dynamic quarterbacks. You're looking at usually you say Pittsburgh here with Big Ben. You're looking at Kansas City now with Mahomes, or the Chargers with Rivers. You're looking at guys like that. You can't have Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You can't just have also runs if you don't have a good defense, because these guys are going to have to pull you through. And so that's where I get a little bit separated with some of the other teams that don't have a good defense, and they think also lands can pull you through.
Well, Darren Bell's wrong, so I got to cut this short. So we'll pick up again tomorrow, because there's also some stuff I wanted to mention today, but didn't get a chance because it has to do with boxing.
Oh, I know. We were going to get to that, which was a joke. That fight was a joke. But, yeah, we'll definitely get that in tomorrow.
I'll explain it tomorrow.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, take care. Good friend and program. We'll always get to catch up with him. Yeah, you can't have a sucky defense and a sucky quarterback. Can't have both. Well, but Jacksonville does well. Jacksonville has an outstanding defense. That's the difference. So they can survive Blake Bortles. Yes, I said survive Blake Bortles. Switching over to boxing, Lou brought that up. Do definitely want to mention that. Look, I don't give a crap what anybody says. Triple G won the first fight. Triple G won the second fight. Triple G needed to knock out Canelo to win this fight, though, because there's no way Chicken De La Hoya or Cheating De La Hoya or whatever you want to call him, there's no way on his promotion was his guy going to lose a decision. It was not going to happen. Terribly, this makes more sense for him anyway. If Canelo loses the fight after a draw, which everyone thought he lost anyway, nobody wants to see part three. Nobody wants to see part three. But now you can come back, because the first one was a draw and people thought Triple G was robbed. The second one, Triple G still feels he's robbed. We're going to have the rubber match, which really isn't a rubber match, because if Triple G wins, he just evens the field 1-1-1. And as much as I love boxing, and I really do, this is where I think it becomes more about the money and less about the result. Because you can sell this fight one more time. You know that. The finances. 100%. The finances. I don't know. You know what? Honestly, Canelo is easy to root for. He's young, good-looking kid, brings in a good Spanish crowd, brings in a lot of money, and he's under the Chicken De La Hoya, the Cheating De La Hoya umbrella. I make no mistakes about it. I say this over and over and over again. I am not an Oscar De La Hoya fan. And this goes back well before the whole Mayweather thing. This goes back to how long he ran from Julio Cesar Chavez. I think Julio Cesar Chavez was like 107 when he finally decided to fight him. I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I'm just not a fan. So I'm not all into this promotion. The Golden Boy. The Golden what? Oscar De La Hoya was a really good fighter for a really good stretch of time. And he won some fights that he probably, you wouldn't think he could possibly win, but he did. I give him all respect for his abilities in the ring. But I also don't like Oscar De La Hoya from everything that I've heard, seen, and talked to people that know him. I'm not a fan. I heard him, I think his jealousy for Floyd Mayweather shows every opportunity he has. Here's the guy that just ripped Floyd up and down for fighting Conor McGregor, but then all of a sudden he wouldn't mind stepping into the ring with an MMA guy. Come on, dude. Don't be sloppy second, dude, De La Hoya. To the Cardinals for a little bit. Please tell me where the Cardinals are going to win. I saw places where they were picked to win about 5 games, roughly, about somewhere in that deal, and I heard people telling me the Cardinals are going to win more than that. We're talking about a team that scored 6 points this season and given up 58. They're in a minus 52 deficit. They've scored 6-2 games. They average 3 points per game for those of you from U of A that needed help with your math. I just don't see where they're going to win these other games. I don't see it. Maybe you do. Maybe you guys can help me out. But I see a team that's in a lot of trouble. They have a winnable game next week against the Young Bears team at home. And then after that, they play Seattle. Then they go to San Fran. They go to the Vikings. They got the Broncos coming here. They got the Niners coming here. They go to Kansas City. Oh, they play Oakland. There's a winnable game against Chucky. Then they go to L.A., I almost said San Diego. They go to Green Bay. Got the Lions coming in. They go to Atlanta. Then they got the Rams coming in. They end at Seattle. I'd please find the 5-6 victory for them. 5-3. So I'm seeing it. And no, I'm not going to walk out of the show. I'm not going to quit mid-show. Vontae Davis of the Buffalo Bills. No, listen to me. He quit. He literally said, I'm done. I'm retired. Keep my little $2.5 million, $3 million. I'm done. I quit. I'm not playing with you, and I'm damn sure I ain't playing for you no more. That's how messed up Buffalo is, and I really want you to put this in perspective for a second. You have a guy in Buffalo that quit, that retired, that hung it up, that stopped playing, that said, I can't do this anymore with you. He's done. Quit. Finito with the Buffalo Bills at halftime because it's that bad. Yet they've scored more points in 2 games than the Cardinals. What does that say about what's going on here? till tomorrow. This is the Cave Show. Cave's Arms with the K. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. You can also get us at thesportscave.com. Again, we're Cave's Arms with the K. Get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Until tomorrow, got a lot of stuff this week. A lot of stuff. Make sure you hang in there with us. Until next time, this has been the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great rest of your Monday. Bears play tonight. Go Bears.